Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Denise Still. Crazy after all these years.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Andrea, get your ducks in a row, Blaze.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, as always, is the wonderfully charismatic and lovely man of a million emotions, Ronnie Karam. How's it going, Ronnie?
Oh, hi, Ben!
Ronnie also has another podcast called The Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast, so everyone should go check that out, because it's hugely hilarious for all you Bachelor Bachelorette fans. And today, it's Tuesday, and we are going to do something a little different, you know, because Vanderpump Rules is gone. We gotta plug these holes in our schedule, and what better way to plug a hole than by bringing some love to Southern Charm New Orleans, huh?
Yeah, a hole. What a nice hole plug.
What
Thanks,
a nice
Nola.
Hole plug. Speaking Thanks. Of plugs, let's plug our own show. We're going all across the country, bringing our podcast to live venues. A totally exciting, fun energy. If you've never been to one of our live shows, you really have to come, especially because we don't know when we're going back to many of these cities. So go to watchacrappens.com to get your tickets. Next up is Phoenix, where we're going to talk Real Housewives of New York. And then 2 days after that, we're going to San Francisco to discuss Southern Charm, which has everyone buzzing right now. So come, let's all buzz together for both those shows. It's going to be a wild, hilarious time. You have to see us live because it's just, it's the best. You're with your people. You are with your people. WatchWhatCrappens.com to get tickets. And while you're there, make sure you check out our merch, including our What's the Matter, What's Happening, What's Going On t-shirt, which is available. How long is that available until?
End of the month, end of June.
End of June.
It's on to the next shirt.
Yeah.
It's so limited time only.
Limited edition What's the Matter, What's Happening, Going On shirt. So go get that. And, you know, that's how you can all... We have links to everything. Social media, Patreon. Everything is there. So go do that, and you'll sleep better at night. I promise.
And now, for what we're all gathered together for, the Real Housewives of New Orleans. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Southern Charm, New Orleans.
So we were like, as soon as the schedule opens up, we are giving Southern Charm, New Orleans its own day, its own special, like on its own recap, because we've been pairing it with regular Southern Charm. And there it is. Here it is.
Yeah.
We're finally doing it. This is the last episode of the season. Sorry. These things happen, you know?
Yeah.
So the episode opens up with, like, New Orleans, New Orleans, Nola, you know, like, Bourbon Street and beignets and stuff. And I don't know if you noticed this, Ronnie. They were totally doing that Ladies of London thing where, like, the screen sort of freezes and then, like, a flag appears in the background and then part of the screen goes away. It's like it turns into – it's like a sort of – a becomes colorized and a transition. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I love all the production on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the B-rolls of the town and the music is so good.
And it also,
and then,
like,
we get to Barry putting up a whiteboard. It's like, it's like, what the hell? It's like this great music. It's like flashes of New Orleans. Everything's exciting. It's a party all the time. Hey, we're going to put up a whiteboard in your room, okay? Just don't bang on it.
Well, to be fair, everyone was doing something very exciting because then we went over to Justin and he's ironing.
Yeah. Kelsey's like, will you iron my shirt? You're good at it. Are your hands clean? This is a white dress. And I know when you're at work, you scratch your butt. He's like, truth.
True story. Yeah. I kind of like the idea that Justin is really good at ironing. And I also think it's hilarious that he gets his paw prints over on everything, too.
Yeah. He's like me. I have Ronnie Muck. You know, like I could never commit a crime because there's just handprints everywhere. I'm a slimy swamp monster.
It's like one of those, like, you know, like in a cartoon when there's like a crime committed and there's like very distinct, like, footprints and, yes. and handprints. It's like your hands.
Yes, I also have very round feet like a Flintstone. So my footprint, they'll be like, anybody who's ever even met me will be like, that's Ronnie.
And then we wind up, we settle in on John Moody, who is just swimming in a pool with his amazing body. But, you know, the poor guy, like he really, as he comes out of the pool, he's like, you know, holding on to the handrail. And it's like, he should not stand to things that provide a scale for us, you know?
I was wondering where you were going with that. He's as big as the handrail in the pool.
He was like, he was basically like hanging off of it, like a what, it, like jungle, like a jungle gym, whatever. Just like he's like, I reached the handlebar.
Yeah, I did it. He's also swimming in his underwear.
Yeah,
because you know they're white underwear, and then he paints in his underwear, and it's very difficult for me to mix art and dickers. Like, some kind of. Think of something that rhymes with commerce, but I can't. Cockers. Because he's like such a, like, he's a really good artist, obviously, but I'm like, you're destroying it with your, like, I don't know. I want my artist to be depressed, you know? Yeah. I want you to, like, get really mad and cut off your ear and mail it to somebody. That's what I want my artist, yeah. Okay? I don't want some fucking hot guy in white underwear so he gets a good dick shot on TV on Bravo.
Yeah, it's hard for me to accept that his art can be good because he seems to be totally vapid, and he obviously, like, he, I feel like a true artist cares about nothing except the art, and that he, I mean, stereotypically, and yet he obviously takes care of his body so well, and he says all these dumb things all the time, and he says things like, it's the John Moody experience, I'm going to be painting live. I'm like, how does this translate into good art? Because, like,
but it does.
It does. I know, it's so weird. It's like, it's strange.
I know, it sucks. It totally goes against everything you believe, and I believe that we as a country believe in. Okay,
it's like finding out that Matisse also really enjoyed watching reruns of Yes, Dear. It's like, what? It's not supposed to be that way.
Georgia O'Keeffe is addicted to The Big Bang Theory and Pilates class and like spray tans.
Yeah, Monet is like the biggest fan of Patricia Heaton. You're like, wait a second, that's not. It doesn't work. No, you should like something on HBO.
Picasso can't stop listening to Mbop. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like it's problematic. That's what I'm saying. But anyway.
So he's like, yeah, I can't wait to do this performance. I want to swing from a building with a paintbrush, like really make it special, you know? Like, and then he's talking to Gian on the phone. He's holding the event that he's going to be painting at. And he's like, I'm prepping a canvas. I definitely left the bottom white. And then I was like, wow, that's how I really want it to look. Like, it looks great.
Yeah. And she's like,
how are you so talented?
Yeah, he's like literally yammering on about how he like only painted half of the canvas and has decided it looks awesome that way, so he's gonna keep it that way. And she's like, great, well, we'll see you at the event. I'm like, she must be bored out of her mind, because you know this conversation was 10 minutes of him talking about, like, so I did like a brushstroke to the left and then to the right, and now it's like fire. It's like, this is a John Moody experience. This is like America right here. This is, and she's probably like, oh my God, he's so dumb.
I know. She's like, can we FaceTime this at least so I can see your dick through your underwear? Because yeah. That's really why I'm here, okay?
I would have liked to have seen more outline. I'm going to be honest. As long as it was there, we should have been able to see more outline.
I don't know why that made me cough.
It was a poignant sentiment. So
sorry, everybody, a nice cough in your face.
Yeah. So then we go to the Central Business District, where Tamika is meeting up with Susan and Rachel and Regan for breakfast, but then they're all getting French 75s at 9 a.m.
So Tamika starts by being nice because she made a big drama, of course. At the last party, which she does at every party. She's like, let me say something about your party. Your food was so good. It was so good. And Reagan's like,
I'm a fantastic cook. I love the fun things about being the Southern lady. Flowers, food, pastries, jobs. I'm domesticated. Wait, I'm not an animal.
Jeff, this food is to remind you that we'll always be together. And even when your brain turns to porridge, I'm going to be there for you. Meanwhile, cut to today, and it's official. They're separated.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
I will never, ever, 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 ever not be there for you, Jeff. Okay, we're getting a divorce. That's it. I'm out.
I think what bothers me about Reagan is that I know that we'd be friends in real life. And because, like, I know that bitch watches Barefoot Contessa. Like, I feel it. And, like, I hate that we will totally bond about it. And we'll, like, do dinner parties together. Like we will be friends. And I hate that about myself.
And well, it's kind of like a John Moody thing, you know, where you're like, this, none of this makes sense. Like someone like Reagan, when she's such a good cook and the food she makes looks so delicious and it's like right up my alley, everything she makes. And it's like, ugh.
I know.
I hate that I love that.
I know. And you know that like John Moody, like if you're friends with him, you probably always feel so cool when you hang out with him. He just has that thing. And you're like, ah, he's so dumb, but so hot. And also like, he's like a really nice person to me. Damn him for being friendly to me.
Yeah, damn Reagan and her gumbo. Still mad about it.
I know. I'm so mad. I'm so mad that I get along so well with Reagan and in my hypothesis.
Yeah, and your fanfic in your head. So Tamika is like, let's just prove even further that we're nowhere near Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I'll start this off by saying, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Bloop. Okay, bloop.
Yeah, let's talk about, so she wants to talk about Gian, because Gian has now blocked her on all social media. Tamika heard a rumor that Gian had blocked her, and she looked it up, and sure enough, she's been blocked. And Tamika's like, that is so high school. I'm like, you're the one who said, last time I checked, you weren't married. So, you know, you started it.
Yeah, and she goes, I'm not sending you dick pic, click pic, so why are you blocking me? Like, I love that that's the only reason she would ever block somebody.
I know.
Dick pics. Like, that's the only feasible reason to block somebody.
And what I was surprised at was that everyone really had Tamika's back. I thought everyone was going to say, well, you know, I mean, Barry did say the F word and she doesn't want to be associated with that. And I think that makes sense. But instead, they're all like, yeah, she's like jealous of you. And you know what it is? She just, you know what? She feels less than you. So she just lashes out. That's what she's doing. I was like, no, I think she just doesn't want to be
Susan was the one who said that, and Susan really did have that face on her when Tamika's going on about, like, I mean, I don't have a problem with her, so why is she blocking me? Like, she completely cut off ties with Barry for no reason, and they kept cutting to Susan, and she's giving this face like, well, you were wrong, stupid.
Yeah.
But then Susan's the one who's like, well, maybe she just doesn't feel better than you. It's the antithesis of that. Okay. Yeah. She doesn't feel full. Okay. She doesn't feel full, guys.
I was shocked because Susan seems to be like the voice of reason of all of Bravo. She seems like so smart, and she has like a really good perspective on a lot of things. And I was shocked that she was like, well, she just seems less, like maybe she feels less than or something. Like, I was like, what? Because I mean, really, I think what we've said this before, but I think what like reading between the lines, it's not so much that Barry just, he said it. It's one thing. But the fact that it's on reality TV and Gian apparently has businesses and is like, I don't know how this is going to be edited or how it's going to make me look. So I'm going to distance myself. I think that's what it was. It's like she wants to see how, because it's on TV. It's not just him saying it.
Yeah. And then Tamika pulls her aside and then humiliates her on purpose on TV. It's like, yeah. I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that she stopped following you, you ass.
Yeah.
So Susan's like, well, you're on a board and she's on the same board. I'm like, this is just a made up thing, this board. Okay, we've already seen a board meeting.
Yeah, it's she's literally like a plank of wood. Like, you're both on a board. So we go to commercial, and I didn't realize that the Southern Charm Savannah trailer had been released because we saw a commercial for it. And just from the commercial alone, so here are my takeaways. The one who seemed to get the most airtime and the most, like, phrases was the gay guy. What's-her-face's, like, mentor, the interior design mentor. I don't remember any of their names except for Ashley.
Yeah, I don't either.
We didn't see...
And Ashley's the one who's not coming back.
But she was there. She's not coming back.
She's not a full-time cast member. Nope, she got demoted. And then now they have a new girl who looks just like the girl, the other girl, Catherine. She looks just like her to me.
Catherine, yeah, because, well, she looked like Ashley also. The girl, she ends the commercial. She says something like, oh, well, Savannah. And then she sort of looked like Ashley, but and sort of like Catherine. But I saw Catherine in the promo. I saw Lyle. I saw Hannah. Is that her name? Hannah. And I saw Hannah's, was Dan, well, but there's Daniel and Hannah's, what was Hannah's sock fiance?
I don't know. I scrubbed it off from my memory. I'll remember when we have to.
Okay. But either way.
Sock guy. Just call him sock guy.
Yeah. But no Nelson either, by the way.
And no Happy. I didn't see Happy or Awesome either.
Yeah. But they were never a full-time cast member. So they'll still probably come back.
Well, whatever. I'm excited. It looks glossier.
It does. For sure. It looked a little sharper. If I remember from the scuttlebutt, Southern Charm Savannah was like a different production company, I think, than regular Southern Charm. And I think that it was taken over again by the Southern Charm people to sort of like write its ways, I think.
Oh.
Is that what I heard?
Well, the kind of straight, the hot straight, the jacks of the show, you know, that guy who's like, I don't take baths and I screw a lot of women.
Oh,
and
Daniel?
I'm poor because my dad committed a crime, but now maybe I'm not going to be poor anymore. That guy, he came back looking like the butler from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like all scraggly, like he
looks
really
terrible.
Long, like, yeah, like really long, weird gray frizzy hair. I'm not really sure what's going on with him, but
yeah,
I'm excited for that show. I really love Savannah.
I liked Savannah. It got better as it went along. Like the first half was like a little too like mundane in terms of like who are these people, but then the second half it had a good finale. But I think I actually, so far, you know, of the spinoffs between New Orleans and Savannah, I like New Orleans more, but I will be watching Savannah. Don't you, you know, I'm happy to bring it. I'm happy it got a second chance.
Yeah. We'll be back on the Savannah train. I mean, they really did make up for everything in that end when Lyle proposed and then Catherine's like, how dare you propose to me on national TV? God damn it.
And yeah, and then they all like ditched Ashley's 2-hour charity gala that went from 7 to 9,
and the 2-hour rental barn. Oh my god, that's so.
That was funny. Okay, yeah, I like Southern Charm Savannah. Okay, so back to New Orleans. Now we're back at Tamika's house, and Barry is there, and he's like cleaning a countertop, and she comes in from hearing about what. I don't know what it is, but she comes in from this brunch. She's like, I feel emotionally abused. I'm like, you just had French 75s over breakfast.
Yeah. She's like, I had lunch with the girls, and I told them what happened with Gian, and they were on the same team telling me what I should do next, and I feel bad for saying I'm married and you're not. Like, that I feel bad for, because, like, we could have been divorced. Like, it's like she's trying to think what to say, and then she says it all really, really fast.
Your impersonation of her is hilarious. It's actually kind of like taking both Workers twins, putting them into one, and slowing them down a little bit. It's like adding a double space after the period.
I don't know. Some you practice, and some, you know, it's like sometimes I just sit there thinking, I'm going to practice Tamika. Why not?
I was practicing my Justin and my John Moody, and I'm sure they will come off as crazy. But so yeah, Tamika's just, she's just babbling on about Gian, and Barry's just like, cleaning.
You know, it's like he doesn't want to talk about it, but he does.
Because the more they talk about
it, their dynamic is so weird. But well, yeah, because the more they talk about it, he's like, I'm trying to get my business back. Yeah, okay?
Exactly. The more money he's going to lose. He's like, okay, just so you know. My manager was like, what's going on with Gian's card? And she basically canceled her membership because of the conversation that you had.
Oh, let me guess. She canceled her gym membership. Oh, so her. So her. Yeah. Well, what did you expect?
She's his client, and you mouthed off to her and said, at least I'm not like who here's married, not you, bitch. That's basically what you said. To his client. What did you expect her just to sit there and like still give you money? And Tamika's the one who accuses Gian of not being able to differentiate between professional and friendship, etc., etc. When it's Tamika who fully treats a professional contact like a friend, even if she does know her for 20 years. It's like at the end of the day, right now, she is a client, Tamika.
And so Barry's like, well, how about you guys just not talk? It's like, huh. Oh, no. I have stuff to say.
I have things to say. For instance, did you know this countertop could use some more cleaning, Barry? How about that? I'll tell her that.
Oh, so Justin and Kelsey, so they have just, they're moving into his mom Dottie's house today.
Basically, his mom is Lucille Bluth. Okay. let's just get that out of the way. She's Lucille Bluth.
I think maybe future, because right now she seems so nice. You think she's got like a little hidden Lucille Bluth that's about to pop out?
Oh my God. Justin is Buster and she is Lucille. It is like, like it's like beyond obvious to me. So they're moving in, and the mom's like sitting there at the table, and they walk in with like pillows, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't realize you were coming in today." I'm like, "You are mic'd up, and there's a cameraman in your room." Do you think this is gonna be like HGTV?
I'm so stupid because I always forget that part. Like I just buy into it too much because I'm like, "Oh my God, he didn't even call her." Like I'm mad.
You're like, "How did I not call Dottie? Her name was Dottie." I forgot her name.
Yeah, Miss Dottie. Kelsey's like, "Hey, Miss Dottie." And she's like, "Yeah, I didn't know you were coming today." And he goes, "Well, you know, my mom was really tough. But all that stuff she did as a kid, it really made me the man I am today." I'm like, "You're the Accidentes guy on the back of a bus." Like, what exactly did she... It's not like you're, you know, taking on the biggest cases in the country. Well, you're moving into your mom's house.
Oh, my God. There is a guy across the street from me, this big old fat dude with a beard smoking outside his window. Oh, he just spat and he's shirtless. If you guys, I'm going to take a picture and this is going to go up on our Facebook. I need people to see what I see when we podcast. Where is this dude?
He's just standing on his balcony or what?
His head is out his window. Here, I'm going to send you the photo. Oh wait, I'm sending you the photo. This is happening live right now. This is important. This is in the spirit of New Orleans, I think. It's festive. Okay, so Ronnie, this is what I look at when we podcast, and it's actually appropriate for this show. This is Justin's future. Did you get it?
My God, hold on, I'm enlarging.
And he just spat. We'll put that on the show.
I feel like I shouldn't make fun because that could be me.
He does this
like
every
really
day.
Just like a few extra naps and that could be me.
Oh Lord.
Oh my God, that's funny.
So anyway, so they're moving in. Kelsey actually got a talking head moment. It's like her first time ever getting a talking head, and she's just basically talking about moving into Justin's childhood room and how it's gonna be weird because the mom will still treat him like a child. You know, etc.
Yeah, and he's like, "No, she won't." And she's like, "Honey, how are you doing? It's everything." Like, of
I made
course.
You a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Do you want something? Because if you want something, you can make it downstairs yourself, Kelsey.
Yeah, exactly. I did get that vibe because Chelsea's like, "Yeah, you know, you're gonna act like a child again." Oh, speaking of, what is this? He's like, "That's my bowling shirt." And she's like, "Ha ha. What's this?" And he's like, "That's my kickball jersey." And it says Black Dynamite. And she's just cracking up.
Yeah. In this like giant, it's a big house in general, but the bedroom is like, it's a giant room and it's like all Ashley furniture, you know? Yeah. So he's like, "All right, Kels, there's gonna be a delay with a..." I'm just doing Thomas Ravenel voice now. He's like, "There's gonna be a delay in the with a house." And she's like, "Oh God, there's gonna be a delay. So this means that like we're not gonna be moving in 3 to 4 months. And like, of course, like you should have told me." And it just sort of devolves into
an argument.
Of course,
you wait until we're in your mother's house to tell me this. You know
exactly. Sure. That's what you said last time, that there was a delay. And how many more delays are there gonna be? And then it turns into that. Well, if you just let me talk. Well, I'm letting you talk. Well, you didn't let me talk. I'll say it. Well, I'm letting you talk. Well, how about I want to talk? No, you don't get to talk. I want to talk. One of those things.
And then Dottie's like, "You guys said you wanted water." Bring some bottles. She's like, "Yeah, it's getting hot in here, Mom." And she's like, "Well, I certainly heard some voices.
I heard some loud, shrill, bitchy female voices who should be so lucky to have a roof over their heads. Those kind of voices."
And she's like, "Well, I'm just saying that Justin makes all the decisions and everybody's like, what are you even doing with her? Because, you know, it's like, he makes all the decisions and blah, blah, blah." And Dottie goes, "Well, Kelsey, it's Chelsea, Kelsey. It sounds like You should just internalize it, you know? Like, you're thinking everybody's saying that. You shouldn't be internalizing that, okay? I know that people who know you as a couple, and they admire your relationship.
Don't they, Justy Wusty?
They say, look at that Kelsey girl. How lucky is she to be with Justy Wusty Wusty? You know, they call him Black Dynamite on the kickball team growing up. I made him that jersey myself. Okay, I'll admit it. I named him Black Dynamite. I gave him his own nickname.
Well, look, I'm getting a call from a friend. She says, congratulations to that hussy who's living in your house on finding such a dynamite partner. There. I feel better.
Justin, do you want another beignet? Are you feeling? Would you like that?
Kelsey, would you like some tape on your mouth before I go? Okay.
So, Kelsey, I heard that Justin had some heartburn the other night and you did nothing about it. I guess it's just the Justin show, huh? I guess it's just my son, you know, just dying, having his heart dying on a bed, and it was just the Justin show to you, huh? Anyway, don't internalize this.
I don't want you to internalize this, Kelsey, but, you know, sometimes our houses, being in New Orleans and all, speak to us, and that you're about to move into a cracked foundation says a lot. So don't internalize that. Just please put a sock in your mouth and keep quiet. Thank you for being here.
I mean, what do I know? I'm just the best mother ever, according to the mug that Justin got me, and mugs don't lie, so... But what do I know? I'm just a vain, glorious legend.
Oh, being the woman in Justin's life, I can say with authority, it's time for you to be quiet, young lady.
Well, anyway, so Justin, Kelsey's I hope you enjoy awesome. That water. I know you always enjoy water in moments when you get heated. It's something for Kelsey to learn when she someday decides that she gets off her ass and takes care of you. But until then, I'm here with some waters.
Yeah, the drive he has is for the both of you, because he works way harder than you, and you're going to need somebody to pay the bills. Okay, good seeing you. And Justin's like, oh, well, what, the woman's always right? Is that how it is? It's like, oh, God, you are really digging your grave today, sir. And Kelsey's like, okay, great. Well, this was the first example of how it is to be around your fucking parents, Justin, so thanks. And he goes, she gave great advice. That's how I saw it. Like, bye relationship.
He's like, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. So now comes actually a scene that I really loved. Tamika decides to bring Rainey, her daughter, to go talk to Susan, basically about like her identity and being a black girl and all that stuff, because Tamika feels like Rainey's the daughter, and she feels like Rainey isn't gonna open up to her because it's like the mom and no one wants to open up to mom. But since Susan, it's like a little bit removed, but Susan's sort of in the same space as Tamika in terms of like they both work in entertainment, etc. Anyway, long story short, she brings Rainey to Susan's radio station, and they sit down, and Susan decides to interview Rainey about, you know, school and everything like that. And it was just like, I thought, like one of those really great scenes of like, you know, imparting advice to young kids. As much as I'm like, ugh, children are so annoying, which they are, I do, you know, I do have a soft spot of seeing moments like this on TV.
Yeah, Rainey's pretty cute. But don't be worried that your child's always crying when you name her Rainey, you know?
Don't Rainey on the parade.
Yeah. So Susan's thing is she thinks that Rainey's trying to identify as a white girl because she painted a picture of her family and the skin wasn't dark enough for Susan. So she was saying she has skin dysmorphia or color dysmorphia.
Yeah, yeah. But basically just saying, like, you know, the girl, she's the only black girl in a school full of white kids, and that's, like, important for her to, you know, like, have a greater understanding of who she is as a black girl, and to know that it's, like, it's okay that your skin is dark, and it's okay that your hair is different, things like that.
Yeah, and the big takeaway here is that Tamika was being a good mom, because the last time we saw Tamika with Rainey, she was such an asshole with her. She's like, Sarah, she was crying at another party. Shut up with your seriously? Crying. I'm not raising weak losers, okay?
Yeah, and so, you know, they're just asking about her, and, you know, kids touch her hair because it's, like, fluffy. And she's like, don't say it's fluffy. It has volume. And that there's some girls who are mean to her. You know, just nothing was necessarily, like, attached to race, but just typical childhood stuff, you know. And you know, and Tamika's like, listen, I made a child who was meant to stand out, not to fit in. It was like all nice stuff. And yeah. Then there's this really sweet moment where it's like, what makes you happy? And she's like, I'm happy when I get to be around my whole family. And then she starts to cry and they hug her. It was nice.
Tamika hits her on the head with a fly swatter for crying. It was so nice.
It was nice.
That was nice. I got a little squirty at that point. I was like, good. I was like, hugging her baby.
She loves her mama. She loves her mama. And Susan, too. Susan's so great. I love that Susan.
And then she goes, what would I do without you? And Randy goes, you wouldn't do anything without me. And she goes, God, I deserve you. This was such the perfect end to that.
Hello, this is Lisa Rinna. We have an ad coming up, so you better listen to it, baby.
So Jeff is with Reagan and their dogs. Well, he's with
the dogs first, and the dogs are ignoring him. So it's like even the dogs ignore poor Jeff.
Yeah. Poor Jeff. He's like, Juju, come here, Juju. Okay. Marcus, you come here. Marcus, I'm putting the tutu on you, Marcus. God damn it.
He's like, I have an entire thing of raw meat that you can eat. No, you just still don't even want that? No? I have a frisbee. So, no?
Reagan's like,
Jeff, I'm making the best gumbo you've ever had, Jeff. I went from lawyer mode to kitchen mode.
I haven't made gumbo in a long time, Jeff. Tomatoes in the gumbo. He's like, well, there should be tomatoes in the gumbo. Did someone say something? I feel like someone said something. Oh, Jeff, you're there. I didn't see you.
He's like, I've been standing here for 10 minutes talking to you.
Remember, Jeff, I just bared my soul. Stop hitting yourself in the head, Jeff. Stop hitting yourself.
He's like, I'm not.
Yes, you are, Jeff. Stop it. I'm worried about you, Jeff.
I'm not doing anything.
You're hitting yourself, Jeff.
Gaslighter. Biggest fucking gaslighter ever, this one.
So they're eating the gumbo, which looks delicious. And then Jeff is like, well, just wait till you have kids to cook for. She's like, Jeff.
And just as Bueller barked, I say, it says Shishu barking. So see, Bueller's just adding to the street cat, everybody.
Shishu barking.
Huh? So he's like, we should have babies because you always cook enough for 12 people anyway. She's like, how did this go from a nice dinner to children, Jeff?
Yeah. And basically, it's kind of sad. What's interesting, too, because he's like, I'm on a shorter timeline because, you know, most linebackers, the average like life expectancy is 55 years old. And I basically only have 21 years left. And she's like, yeah, but...
Well, cheese has an expiration date, and we like cheese, so just focus on the positive, Jeff.
He's like, I'm damaged goods. And she's like, well, so is everything at Home Goods, and that's why we love going there. It's cheaper. Yay, Jeff!
You know, it's like when you get a banana that has a bruise on it, you can still eat the banana. So she basically, she doesn't want to have kids, and she has a million excuses why. It's like, it's not the right time, she's not da-da-da-da-da-da. Basically, she doesn't want to have kids with him. Like, there's basically, it's either that she doesn't see a future with him with kids, or like, it's more like, she's like, oh God, he went running away into the middle of like a concrete quarry. He's crazy. I married a crazy man. I don't think I want to have kids who are crazy. So.
Yeah. And then the Doberman passes by in a tutu. Yeah. You're like, okay, well, I see where she's coming from. So next is Barry's butt.
Ass.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So there you go. And then Tamara's like, why are you so hot?
Tamika.
Oh, Tamika. 14 years later. Yeah, Tamara's like, everything is your fault, bitch. Tamika's like, 14 years later, this man is still hot. Does it make me, like, want to take off my clothes and have sex with him? No. Still no.
But he's hot. I think Barry's hot.
So then her gay cousin comes over to fix her boobs. And then Justin and Kelsey are getting ready over at their place.
Everyone's getting ready, but basically while Tamika's getting ready, Reagan calls and she's like, oh my God, I'm 8 days late on my period. And oh my God, like, please don't tell Barry this. Do not tell Barry. Meanwhile, it's on speakerphone and Barry's listening to the whole thing.
Yeah. And she's like, I won't tell Barry. And he's like, oh. And she goes, oh my God. Like, she said she might be pregnant. And Barry goes, well, you've been late before. And she goes, yeah. And I was pregnant. She doesn't want kids. And he goes, well, you didn't want kids either. And I was like, geez, this show. Yeah. I hope you're not showing your kids this show. You terrible.
And Reagan's terrible like, people. Yeah. And because Reagan's basically like, I don't want to tell Jeff because I don't want to get his hopes up. I'm like, you don't want to tell Jeff because you don't want the kids. If you're pregnant, I don't know what's going to happen, but like, you want to give yourself a contingency plan.
Well, also, it's like she knows how Jeff is going to be, which of course he is the second he finds out. So then, let's see. So on this phone call, only on this show would you hear, well, Rachel has a pregnancy test from the Easter egg hunt.
I was like, is that the only one left in New Orleans? You can also just go to CVS. You've driven by like 10 of them on this episode already. Like, oh my God, there's the one pregnancy test that Rachel has that she's still holding on to.
I like when Reagan goes, don't tell Barry because he'll give Jeff baby looks all night. Which is so what happened.
It's exactly what happened. Barry, of course, so Barry, the worst
over
secret teller.
Over at, oh,
by the way, we
John's
should say they're all getting ready for the John Moody party. That's what everyone's doing.
Which is where we're going next.
Yeah.
So Tamika is standing at the entrance talking to Kelsey and Justin, and she looks like a giant. I don't know if she's standing on a crate. It's like Tom Cruise in movies where he's always standing on a crate.
Yeah.
But it's like, geez, you have to tower over. She's like, I need the highest hills I can. I want to be 5 feet taller than anybody else in this guy.
Yeah. So she's talking to Justin and Kelsey, and then Gian is like right next to her, and they're just full on cold to each other, just hating each other.
Yeah. So she's like, can we, thank you so much for doing this. Can we have a talk later? Later, Gian. Later, we'll have a talk. Mm-hmm. And Justin's like, ding, ding, there's about to be a fight in here.
His mom arrives. He's like, okay, honey, here, I got you some protective gears. That way you're okay if there's a fight.
Everyone leave Justin alone. Black Dynamite will not stand for this.
Hey, honey, just so you know, if it gets a little too crazy in there, I'll be out front in my Nissan Sentra, and you can just pile in. We'll go somewhere else.
So Jeff and Reagan get there, and she's wearing this kind of mermaidy dress, and she can't walk, which is so Reagan.
Yeah.
It's Jessica Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit.
And then Jeff, you know, I was happy. For a second, because it looked like Jeff got like a little bit of a haircut. He still has his crazy, like psycho mohawk hair slick back thing going on, but at least he had tamed it a little bit. But of course, by like a minute into the party, it was like flaring up in all sorts of directions. I was like, you know what? I think it's time to start committing to a buzz cut, Jeff. It's just this look. It makes him look like a white supremacist. I mean, I'll just say it. It's just not. It's not. It's not.
Well, a buzz cut would really make him, don't you think?
No.
We're like, you look like a white supremacist. Maybe shave your head.
I'm not saying a skinhead. I'm just saying a buzz. Just this. He just looks too crazy with this hairstyle. I'm sorry. It's just giving full on like crazy vibes.
And he looks so cute with it all slicked back and stuff.
It does look cute. When it's slicked back, it looks, like, better. But it doesn't stay slicked back. It's too humid, and I don't know what he runs his hand through his hair, so it just gets, like, crazy hair. It needs to just be tamed.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a failure of Reagan that she was not able to do that.
Yeah.
She was on the front lines there. That was like
I tried, but he won't stop hitting himself.
He's like, I'm not hitting myself. There you go again.
Stop yelling.
I'm not yelling.
Yes, you are.
So Tamika's like, okay, Barry, remember the deal. I mean, she didn't really say this, but she's basically like, don't tell Jeff about the pregnancy test. He's like, got it. Don't tell Jeff about the pregnancy test. Hey, Jeff, guess what I heard? Your wife's pregnant.
And Jeff's like, oh my goodness. I want to be the fun dad in the Easter costume and watch cartoons like regular Saturdays, but with babies. This is going to be great.
He's already planning out everything. I've already booked, you know, a trip to Disney World. I've got sleds. I just got moon boots for if we ever go to Vermont with those sleds.
He's like, push, Reagan, push.
Like, okay, calm down over there.
I've already booked just for 3 Le Mans classes. I got a prenatal massage for you.
So over in another part of the party, Barry's talking to John and Kelsey. And he's like, hey, word on the street is you're going to do some live painting tonight. And John goes, don't believe what you hear on the street. Believe what you hear from John Moody.
Yeah.
And Kelsey goes, God, I always think you're about to say something smart. And every fucking time it's stupid.
I know.
Like, every time.
When she said that, I was like, she is the hero of this show. He's like, Believe 50% of what you hear, but believe 100% of what you hear from John Moody. I'm like,
because they're trying to make this show. They're trying to make Tamika the Reagan, not the Reagan, the Cameron of the other show where she's doing all the openings and stuff like previously. But Cameron really is the voice of reason. And I think that next time it needs to either be Kelsey or Rachel, because I love Rachel. I mean, Rachel is my fucking favorite thing on this show. And like she's one of my favorite characters, like side characters ever. Yeah. I think she's so great.
Kelsey, it's funny because everything Kelsey says is generally spot on. Like, and she is like, she's like a great girlfriend, you know, like she's never, this sounds so condescending to say it. I'm not trying to say it in a condescending way, but like she's never whiny. She's totally patient with all of Justin's needs, you know, because he is like a man boy and she's been patient. Whenever she has an issue, she articulates it well. She's like cool. And like, he's so lucky to have her. And she, and the fact that she just like shades John right to his face and he doesn't even seem to even realize, that's great. Like, she is great. She's a keeper.
Yeah. And then they show a montage of John just saying stupid shit.
Yeah.
Just so good.
Oh God. He is, he's pretty. At least he's pretty. Yeah.
So Jeff comes up to Reagan and, she's talking to somebody and he's like, do you have time to talk now privately? Disneyland sale on tickets. Gotta get them. What preschool are we sending our child to?
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been told not to say anything, but I cannot believe you have a tiny, tiny little baby with big, gigantic red hair inside of you. Oh my God.
You need to take a seat? Huh? Need a seat?
She's like,
I think I need to know first, because, like, I didn't want to tell you about it until, like, I knew about it, and, like, I need to know before you know, and, like, I haven't even taken my test yet, so maybe I'll just go to the bathroom and take my test.
So Rachel arrives with the only pregnancy test in all of New Orleans, and so they, like, rush into the bathroom with it, and in the meantime, well, actually, they don't go in the bathroom just yet, because first, there's like this moment where Gian is standing next to a cake, and then Tamika's like, if you could throw that cake in anyone's face, who would it be? And it's like, dun dun dun. And Gian's like, well, I would throw it in my own face, because you have to start with yourself. I'm like, come on, Gian, just say you'll throw it in Tamika's face. In fact, just do it. Just throw it in her face.
Yeah, she's not even going to play that game. So Tamika's like, fine, she won't play that game, then I'll start. And she takes the cake and puts it on Barry's face and her own, and then they start, like, licking it off each other's face in front of Gian.
Yeah.
It's like, God, Tamika never gives up. You gotta hand it to Tamika for just never giving up.
Yeah. So now Jeff, Susan, and Reagan are talking, and Jeff's like, look at Reagan. She's glowing. She's glowing. Because she's going to be a mother. We're going to be parents.
Then Gian and Tamika are having a talk, finally. She's like, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? So they go talk, and she's like, last week, awful. Like, we've known each other 20 years. Like,
awful. Awful.
Ridiculous.
We should not have gone to that level. I'm like, you went to the level.
Yeah, you shouldn't have gone to that level. And Gian's like, well, you said mean things to me, and I didn't get that. And Tamika goes, huh, we both jab. I'm like, no, she didn't jab at you. You jabbed.
You jabbed. You were doing, yeah. You were a big, big old jabber. You did a big jabberwocky jab.
You were like a Jabber the Hutt jab. Okay?
Jabber. Yeah. And she's like, well,
you we ate both Princess Leia. So
we both said things that were terrible. Awful. Awful.
And Gian said, it's not what you say, Tamika. It's how you say it. I was like, no, it was what she said. Yeah. And she goes, well, you know me. Like, I don't apologize often, but I talked about your marriage, and I'm sorry, truly. Because, like, look, we're like, we love the same men. We live in the same city. Now, granted, I have a better man, and I live in a better part of the city.
And a successful marriage, and you seem to like all of my men, and I don't seem to like any of your men, because you don't actually have any men in your life at all. But we're, like, very similar in that way. I mean, I have a better wig, but, you know, we're very similar.
Like, you're like me, but homely. You know what I mean? Jim's like, thanks. Well, thanks for pulling me aside, because, you know, is not how to coexist. Okay?
If I were ever to have some sort of lonely existence where I had no friends and no romantic prospects, I would want it to be just like yours.
Olive branch, olive garden, I mean... Let's face it, we both know what you're going to choose.
So they hug, and I mean, you know, it's superficial. It's a Band-Aid on this wound, but whatever.
Yes. So over with the pregnancy tests, Regan is in the bathroom trying to squeeze her fingers between that mermaid dress. It's like, yeah. Could you have picked a more inappropriate dress to take a pregnancy test in? You knew you were going to be doing this.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it was like ruffle upon ruffle upon ruffle upon layer. Yeah. And while she's doing that, Jeff is just talking to everyone. He's telling someone, he's like, Regan's late. I mean, I'm happy, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I don't know. And the person's like, uh-huh.
It's
like,
so sad.
Would you like a crudité?
Yeah, he's passing back and forth, and it just gets sadder every time. Tamika's like, are you peeing?
It's like, I think so. Yeah, I'm peeing.
And Jeff's like passing out cigars.
He's like he literally goes up to someone and they, did you see this caption? It said the name, they say unknown, and the title is Guy Jeff Just Met. And he's like, I just found out she's 8 days late. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
Oh my god. So they literally said his name, this person's unknown, and Jeff just met him.
So Regan finally gets her hand back from whatever was happening down there, and she just lets out this blood-curdling scream.
She's like, yeah.
And Jeff's like, oh my god, it happened so fast, everybody. Move out of the way. Daddy,
it's a boy.
On board. Daddy on board. Push Regan.
He shows, he like bursts into the bathroom wearing like a baby Bjorn.
Yeah.
He's like, this is the best thing that could ever happen.
Yeah. So poor guy. Yeah, she goes,
this is the best thing to ever happen to me on a toilet.
So then
with this, basically, no baby. You're not pregnant. And Regan's never been happier. Never been happier since when she first stepped foot in her own apartment in the French Quarter. So,
yeah. And Tamika's like, well, that's so sad. I'm going to go fuck my husband in the bathroom. So
yeah.
They go fuck in the bathroom. And then she comes out and just gives the camera a look like, I just did that. It's like, you two are really classy. Your kids are going to have so many fucking issues from watching this one episode.
I know. Jeff is talking to Justin, and Regan goes and interrupts. She's like, can I just have a second with Jeff? I love you. To Justin. Like,
you.
Thank you. Love you.
Love
bye.
You.
So, I'm not having your spawn, and it's over.
I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, Jeff. But I'm not ready, and you're not ready. I love you.
I'll take care of you no matter what. No matter what, I'll be there. Always. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Did we mention they got separated?
Oh, God. So John is like, there are things you might not understand about New Orleans. We are like the city. Water rises. Things fall. We're like glue. Stick together. I'm like, what?
Milk, lemonade. Round the corner. Chocolate's made. Stick your finger up the hole. Oops. Tootsie roll. That's just what life is. It's like great job.
Water's up. Water's down. Snicker satisfies you. It's like, okay. Well, thanks, John.
Nobody beats the whiz.
And then Barry continues this New Orleans theme because it's towards the end of the episode.
Everyone's being
now,
reflective.
The end of the season. Yeah, so everybody's reflecting. And then Barry's like, our relationship is like New Orleans. You know, you just ignore that tide, but then when it rises too high, the marriage drowns because I can't swim.
And it's on below sea level. Like, okay. So John's up, gets on the roof, he starts painting, and everyone's just like watching, and I'm like, this must have been so awkward and boring because you don't paint that in like 2 minutes. Everyone's just staring at you paint. For like 35, 40 minutes. Like,
and he's looking on his cell phone. He's like copying the picture on his cell phone. It's an artist in 2018.
Yeah.
But that painting was really fucking good.
Yeah, I guess.
Again, so, like, damn you.
So everyone's just saying how much they love each other. And Tamika and Regan are like, we're soul sisters. And Regan's still talking about how Jeff is her everything. He's my everything. I'll be with him always, 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 always.
He's my everything and I'm his everything. And that's just how it's gonna be.
And Justin's saying how he sees a future with Kelsey and all that fun stuff. And they're all leaving the party and John keeps going, welcome for coming. welcome for coming. I was like,
yeah, what?
Is that a thing?
What does that mean? No, it doesn't make any sense. And then it's like, okay, everything's done. And it goes 1 hour later. Like, and it's Justin and Kelsey in bed at his mom's house. And he's like, come on, baby, please. And she's like, we are in your parents' house. I'm still a virgin. He's like, damn it.
I was like, wow, I thought there would be a more significant cliffhanger than will Justin get some poutine.
And Justin doesn't get any. The end.
The end. He only gets a bad case of heartburn. Also, it didn't help that Dottie was like sitting at the edge of the bed being like, come on, Justin, ask her. Maybe she'll say yes.
Oh, and that brings us to the end of Southern Charm Nolans, everybody.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this comes back. I feel like it will. If Savannah comes back. Nolan's got to come back, because I heard I feel like a lot of people were talking about this one, so I'm sure it'll be back.
Yes, and we'll see you when you do come back, Nolans. For now, we're at the end of our Tuesday, so see you, suckers. Go over to watchwhatcrappens.com for tickets to our Phoenix show and San Francisco show this month, and to get your What's the Matter, What's Going On, What's Happening t-shirts. And we will be back tomorrow with a little Below Deck Mediterranean action, okay, honey?
Honey, that's going to be amazing. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.